Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So with the threatened publication of an ethics report into sordid allegations against him, Matt Gaetz decided to take himself out of the running to be the next US Attorney General, despite Donald Trump wanting him to do the job. But Gaetz was not the only presidential nominee with questionable credentials and eyebrow-raising backstories. One opinion writer for the New York Times said this week, "I never panic, but I'm panicking now." So who are the people who could soon be in charge of America, devising policy on everything from healthcare to international relations? Well, to go through it all, I'm joined now by Graham Finlay, who's lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Graham, you're very welcome. Where to start is the question. Let's begin with the news, okay? Because we were expecting Matt Gaetz now to go through the process where he wanted to be confirmed as US Attorney General. Everything changed very quickly last night. What was going on?
Well, it's very, very difficult to keep up with this. But, you know, Matt Gaetz was uniquely unqualified for the position of attorney general, given that his only experience of law enforcement was being arrested, charged and investigated. So he probably saw the writing on the wall when he was being toured around the Capitol by J.D. Vance alongside the almost as controversial Pete Hegseth, who's been nominated for Secretary of Defense.
That's the Fox News weekend presenter.
And yes, and like many of Trump's picks, a presenter and a TV personality. So Gaetz was going around and was allegedly going full steam ahead, but he got quite a bit of pushback, it sounds like, in person. And of course, from the Senate Republicans.
So JD's going around with the two guys saying, look at these lovely, shiny nominees that we have. Will you please support them through the process? And
yes,
the Republicans were saying, uh-uh.
Well, that's it. I mean, the bigger picture is Trump's pick of Gaetz was the ultimate attempt to sort of bully Republicans and to assert his dominance over the Senate and the House.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something we're going to see with all of Trump's attempts to get his picks confirmed. The Senate has the advise and consent power to confirm presidential nominees, and it's very loath to give that power up. And so when he first proposed Gaetz, who the members of the House and the Senate know to be unqualified both morally and in terms of his experience, because they have seen him showing pictures of him, sexual videos of himself, on the House floor, which is one of the central ethical allegations,
mm-hmm.
It really put them in a very difficult spot. And we early on heard key Senate Republicans like outgoing leader Mitch McConnell saying that the Senate is not going to give up its power to confirm picks. And key senators saying basically it's a very, very steep hill for Gaetz to climb. To be confirmed, just because the evidence, such as it was, and the allegations are so damning that it was going to happen. And we got the point where there was a direct conflict between the Senate and the House, where the House the Republicans were trying to not release the ethics report on Gaetz's behavior. And the Senate was saying they might subpoena it,
right.
And they might certainly subpoena witnesses. So the possibility of a hearing, which they described to Gaetz's face as like the current Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh on steroids, probably made Matt Gaetz realize it was just completely untenable.
Yeah, and then I was reading as well that CNN phoned Matt Gaetz and said that they were publishing a story. It was the contents of that ethics report, which everyone was hoping to get their hands on. And it was less than an hour before their publication time, and on foot of that, probably partly, and then the fact that he knew he wasn't going to get the support, he decided to pull his nomination. But very soon afterwards, then Donald Trump produces somebody else for U.S. Attorney General. Who's this person?
Pam Bondi is the former Attorney General of Florida, and she is probably the kind of person Trump should have picked in the first place. We know he's naming his personal lawyers to be assistant attorney generals, people who are defending him in his many recent cases in court. Pam Bondi was a Florida attorney general who was charged or could have possibly investigated some of the many allegations and problems surrounding Trump University, which was based in Florida, until she received, this is the allegation, a $25,000 donation from a Trump associated group into her own personal election fund or her own election group. And then suddenly she declined to be involved in the Trump University case. Now, there's a lot of controversy around this, but this, I think, in the Trump world and in our modern political era, is not going to be enough to sink her. Because she does have experience, considerable experience, as Attorney General and in law enforcement. She is a diehard, loyal Trumpist, and she defended him in his first, she was one of his lawyers in his first impeachment. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, the Matt Gaetz being so unqualified is going to benefit Trump's more ordinary picks down the line, because Pam Bondi, while the Democrats are probably going to vote against her en masse, and we're going to see very disciplined behavior from the Democrats, I don't think any of her behavior is something which the more moderate or independent-minded Republican senators can't overlook.
Right, because it was interesting when his picks emerged, first of all, when we had RFK Jr. and Matt Gaetz, I did read some analysis that said that Trump would be willing to sacrifice RFK for Matt Gaetz. You know, he'd be willing to take Republicans who were not willing to accept him, and he'd say, sorry, RFK, that didn't work out. I tried my best. If you could get Matt Gaetz in. Do you think there's another sacrificial lamb in there, or is it still RFK Jr.?
I think there's probably several. I think we can distinguish between Trump's picks who are current congresspersons and congressmen and women, which is already causing a problem for the Republicans in the House. He's picked three, including Matt Gaetz, for various nominees. Now, Matt Gaetz resigned his
seat. That's
right,
yeah. So what happens
so
now?
Currently, we have 219 Republicans to 214 Democrats. There are about three outstanding races. And the Democrats lead in one, the Republicans lead in two. So we're going to have a 6 or 7 seat majority for the Republicans mm-hmm. in the House. It's going to be difficult to fill Matt Gaetz's seat in the immediate future. Elise Stefanik from New York has been nominated as ambassador to the UN. Mike Waltz has been nominated as national security advisor. And these are going to be, if they move into those positions, these are going to be votes which Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, won't have. The Republican Party is incredibly fractious, and so they don't have a lot of discipline, so it's going to make every vote sort of a knife edge. Anyway, some of the other picks include just very wealthy people like Linda McMahon, the wrestling impresario.
Oh my gosh, there's a video of her online where she's being, I don't know what the technical term is, but she's being held upside down by a 7-foot-tall wrestler. And he's doing, I think they call it like a spike or a pike?
Pile driver, perhaps.
Something like that, yeah. And you just think, this person's going to be in charge of education in the United States.
And I mean, again, there's a minor controversy involving her in that she is alleged to have lied about having a degree in education. Again, we're in a new world here where personal dignity and something as small in this world as lying on your CV is probably not going to be too much for even the most moderate Republicans in the Senate. And again, billionaires running things like the Commerce Secretary, Howard Lutnick, you know, that was par for the course in the first Trump administration. So I think most of those picks will probably go through. It's the TV personalities and the people who have serious problems hanging over their heads, like RFK Jr. with his extreme anti-vaccine stance, mm-hmm. his extremely checkered personal history, which also includes allegations of sexual assault. Pete Hegseth, nominee for Secretary of Defense, who's also got very, very serious allegations of past sexual assault and has no relevant experience and is suspected of holding truly extreme views. And Tulsi Gabbard, who is a former Democratic congresswoman, but is seen as extremely pro-Russian. And, you know, her own loyalty and her as director of national intelligence, her own willingness to keep America's secrets safe is under question.
So is there a way for Donald Trump to get around the Senate process?
So there is. There's the process. And he's invoked it. And again, what we're seeing is a really dramatic constitutional sort of clash. And it does seem like the Constitution today, or as of now, right, this time, is holding. In the sense that if the Senate is in recess, then the president, if an emergency is required, you need someone in post, can appoint what's called a recess appointment. Obama tried to do it to stalk the National Labor Relations Board, and there was an actual court case which determined that the Senate had to be in recess for 10 days for a recess appointment to be made. Mm-hmm. That recess appointment then can continue until the end of the congressional session. What Trump was asking was for the Senate to voluntarily go into recess so he could appoint his entire cabinet as recess appointments. That is completely unprecedented and involves, again, the Senate giving up one of its key constitutional powers. And in a world where the Republicans control the White House, the Senate, and the House, the Senate's power is one of the last checks on Trump's power. It looks like even people who are quite loyal Trump people, like Chuck Grassley, who is prepared to preside over the election in 2021, if Mike Pence wouldn't do the job, has been pushing back against the idea that the Senate's going to abdicate its role. So it's really, and there is a potential for litigation here should Trump try to push this beyond what has ever been done before.
So can we talk about these high-profile appointments that are outside of cabinet? So Elon Musk, he's called the great Elon Musk now, isn't he, by Donald Trump. Dr. Oz from the TV, who's going to be in charge of Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. How much power will these people have?
Well, they have tremendous power. And we're focusing on the heads of government agencies, you know, heads of government departments, which the Senate tends to take very seriously. So everybody, including Matt Gaetz, would have had a full hearing. But there are 1,200 such appointments which need to be confirmed by the Senate. Not all of them can have a full hearing in the Senate, you know, in a Senate committee, and then, a full vote in the Senate. These usually go through, and there's tremendous deference, and there has been in the history of the United States tremendous deference to the president's ability to pick his team. So again, for sort of smaller agencies like Medicare and Medicaid, Oz could well go through. And again, he's yet another TV personality. Mm-hmm. He's been accused of peddling sort of quack medicine and dangerous substances, and he's also a failed Senate candidate in Pennsylvania. But again, there's probably nothing there which is going to cause the Senate to spend a lot of its time on keeping him out. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are more interesting for their Department of Government Efficiency because it looks like they are going to be sort of operating outside of normal government structures. I think they would have a very hard time getting confirmed by the Senate because they are going to be unwilling to give up all their contacts and contracts with the government. Elon Musk has tremendous levels of actual government contracts, which obviously leads to a conflict of interest. And the whole process is being conducted in a way which has never been done before, and that Trump has refused to sign the ethical statement, which allows a normal transition to take place. And he, in his first administration, basically refused to sort of put all of his companies and all of his interests, maybe because there were too many of them, into a blind trust or to distance himself from them. And we had his daughter, Ivanka Trump, and Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, operating as business people while they were in the White House without a security clearance. You know, so I think Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are going to be in a similar situation where they're half in the government and half out. They're engaging in stuff which is the government's business. And crucially, they're going to overcome and get around the power of the purse, which is one of the most ancient constitutional roles which the House of Representatives has. And we'll see if the House of Representatives is prepared to defer to their desire to cut huge swaths of government spending without the approval of the House.
Yeah, big questions coming. And there's still a few major appointments left to go. Treasury, Agriculture, Labour. And when those appointments are made, Graham, we might ask you to come back in and tell us about the people who are anointed for those roles. But for now, thank you very much. That's Graham Finley, lecturer in the School of Politics and International Relations at UCD. Coming up next, we have a treat for you because we have chefs Anne-Marie Dunn and Tara Gartlin, and they'll be telling us how to make delicious jam and chutney. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.